This is a Pinball News production.
So my name is Ryan Wanger. I'm the tournament director also of this tournament. So I've been of the tournament room there and stuff that's going on. So I've been running around like crazy trying to do that stuff. But I was more excited to do this than that stuff. I want to find out like what you guys know. So I will attempt to do that in questions. How many people have been to a pinball show before in this room? Okay, lots of people. How many of you guys live with a pinball, one or more pinball machines? Okay, all right, this is great. People were telling me, like, you need to tell people where the start button is and, like, what pinball is, and it doesn't look like it. How many of you guys have played in a league or tournaments before? Okay, this is where we're a little short. So then most of everybody's playing, you guys are playing at home. Probably. Just playing them. Okay. Anybody here, like, because they want to impress someone or they're under duress from a spouse or. Okay. So I made this outline of like 3 pages. I posted it on the internet, and everyone said that the feedback was you're never going to get through all of it, and some of it is too advanced. So I'm just going to make stuff up here. I'm probably just going to say a few things, and then I'm just going to play a little bit and talk about what I'm doing as I'm playing. And maybe I'll stop for questions, and maybe we'll have time for questions at the end. And maybe I'll have some people. I have 4 small prizes to give away, so maybe I'll get some people to volunteer to just come up and play a ball. So I'll just tell you my story. So I loved going to arcades growing up, but I totally ignored pinball because I'd go up and play a game and do this, and then I'd die in 10 seconds, and like, this game sucks, and then I'd move to the next game, like, this game sucks too, and then, you know, not. That was pinball. It felt too random to me and unfair, and that's why I focus on video games, because it was, random things didn't happen. Like, if you lost, it was always your own fault. But I have come around on that, and I understand now that it is my fault when I lose the ball in pinball. And I operate games on location in Boulder, and this happens to me all the time. I'm playing, I can see out of the corner of my eye, they come up, they're with somebody else, that, you know, like, they play for 10 seconds, they're like, it went right down the middle, like, what the hell? What am I supposed to do about that? It's your fault, generally, when that happens. What I like about pinball is that it is mostly skill, but there's enough luck that it makes it good for competition. And I used to play a lot of poker, and so it's kind of similar to that, where, like, you could play against the best poker player in the world in just one hand, like, you could win that hand. And pinball's like that, too. Like, you can beat a player who's much better than you just on one ball or one game. And so that makes it much more interesting than, like, a Donkey Kong competition or something where, like, you just play for 45 minutes until the game crashes, and okay, I'm gonna say a couple more things, and then I'll play. The first thing is, you know, when I first started playing, I felt like pinball was fighting gravity. So like the ball falls down to the flippers, and my job was just to like flip it back up to the top so that it wouldn't, you know, so I wouldn't lose it. It started to now to me feel more like I'm letting the ball settle on the flippers and then trying to control it. So not everyone not everyone plays this way, but probably 90% of the top players in the world or more, like, they're playing as controlled as possible. They're trying to stop the ball, cradle the ball, take very intentional shots, and that's how you're gonna, you know, like, if you want to hit a ball into left field in a baseball game, like, would it be easier to just put the ball on a tee and hit it there, or try and hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball? You know, I would much rather just hit it off the tee if I'm trying to aim. It takes so much more skill to be able to just, like, every time the ball comes to your flipper, fire for this, fire for that. It's very difficult. Some people can do it, but it's very difficult. So, okay, I'm going to play. We'll see how this goes. And if my head gets in the way, tell me, I'm going to have to sort of, like, crouch down a lot. Okay, so very, like, some of this may be obvious for some of you guys, so I'm going to, like, start slow. And if I'm saying stuff you already know, then that's great. So I'm going to try not to talk too much about rules at the very beginning for this room, and just talk about flipper skills. So one of the best ways that I got better was just by watching other people play, especially like in tournaments and leagues and stuff, playing with better players and watching them play, watching videos on the internet, and not focusing on, so you guys can't even see the score, that wasn't intentional, but that's probably good. So I wouldn't worry about like necessarily score or what I'm doing. Pay attention to just like what's going on in the flippers. So I just picking a random vision here. So most modern games, you have a ball saver at the beginning, like the shoot again is flat. So this shoot again is flashing down here. And so anytime that's there, you can lose the ball, you'll get it back, no big deal. Which means I probably don't want to tilt the game while that's happening. I'm always want to try and cradle the ball like this, and then I'm just going to shoot for something that's flashing, which I was going for the right orbit, but I missed. I'll go for the other. I'm not going to talk for a minute. I'm just going to do some things, and I will address them later. Okay, so the number one thing that improved my game in pinball, like the biggest leap I ever took, was starting to bounce pass, or maybe dead flip, as it's called, or which I probably just did a bunch of times there, which is the ball is coming right down to the center of the flipper, and just let it hit the flipper and bounce over to the other side, and then trying to control on the other side. So now I'm going to just try and get into that situation a couple times where I can bounce pass. I forget what that move is called, but what I just did there, this little thing, the ball is coming up to the tip of the flipper, and it's not going to go all the way over, and you can flip it just a tiny little bit to you know, pop the ball up in the air. So I can do that again. Kind of something like that. Here, I'm not going to flip with this upper flipper. That was a good bounce pass. And really just trying to kill most of the momentum of the ball and slow it down. So keeping the ball moving up and down is really important. And when you're making, like on this game particularly, all of the shots return safely, pretty much, except for the shot right up the middle. But you hit the ramps, you know, and it goes around, it comes down to a flipper. Hit the other ramp. So as long as you're making those shots, you're not going to lose the ball. It's when you miss and you just hit posts and then the ball's out of control. When you use an upper flipper, you're sending the ball side to side. And so this warp ramp is super, this upper flipper, you shoot this warp ramp. It's a really satisfying shot, but when you miss, the ball is now like going side to side and it's out of control. And this game too, sometimes you go halfway up the ramp and it'll go into the outline. So I've been flipping less with that flipper in competition. There's some good bonuses from it in this game when you're playing by yourself at home.
Sorry. This is an important part of learning to play pinball.
Let's see here. I should just give you all these keys, but it's...
I'll let you keep them, but it's going to be the last one.
This is the kind of
one. Excellent, thank you. Carry on.
Money full of... or pocket full of keys and... money. Okay. Did that all make sense? About the side flipper? So, like in this game... you can get double scoring, but you have to hit 10 warp ramps. That's a lot of like very difficult shots to get to that good bonus.
You get an extra ball at three.
You do get an extra ball at three, but if you're playing competitively, extra balls are probably turned off. And so getting three warp ramps, it's going to get you some points, but every time you take that shot, you're playing there. So if you're good at the shot, take it. If you're missing the shot a lot, maybe don't make that shot. Or don't flip it out of the flipper. So, okay, there's a thing called post-passing, which is I have the ball on the right flipper and I want to get it to the left flipper. Can everyone hear me, by the way?
Yeah.
All right, this isn't too loud and I'm talking loud enough. So post-pass is I'm going to be flipping this flipper, the right flipper, as quickly as possible to bounce the ball off of the post and then get it to, like, carry over to the other side. So, like that. And... when people see that, they think it looks really difficult. It's not really that difficult, and it's not that dangerous either. As long as you... so I'm just going to flip it as fast as possible, and that was maybe a little too fast, so slow it down, and then it goes over. And the only way to screw this up is to drop the flipper before the ball has moved over. So flipping this one and holding it up so that it can be like a ramp to go over to the other side. That wasn't quite enough. So, let's get the ball back in control. Okay. It's probably a good time to talk about forehanding and backhanding. I don't even know if it's called forehanding. I call it that. But normally, from the right flipper, you'd make a shot to the left side of the playfield, left ramp or the left, like this shot or this shot. But on a lot of games, especially modern games, you can backhand many shots, which means shooting to the same side of the playfield. So, like, I can backhand this right ramp, even though it doesn't look like it, although I missed it there. Give that another try. And backhands are... I try and always backhand when I can. The ball is moving slower, which is just sort of like a geometry physics kind of thing. To shoot the left side of the playfield here, you let the ball roll down the tip towards the end of the flipper, and the flipper is going to, like, the flip's going to be stronger there. If you're shooting more from the heel of the flipper, it's going to be like a lighter shot. So that means, like in this case, this backhand, like it's a tighter window to hit that right ramp, but if I miss, the ball is moving a lot more slowly, and so it'll come back hopefully more safely. This Star Trek in particular, let's see if I can get over to you. So the left ramp in Star Trek is a real easy shot to backhand. It's kind of just like straight on, goes straight up, and you can actually, let's see if I can do this here. My head's not amazing. Okay, so post pass it over, and you might even be able to loop it straight into that shot again. There's some modes where that's actually okay. Like that. Okay. Does anybody have any questions about any of these things? Does that kind of stuff make sense?
What did you call the one where you just let it hit and bounce over?
I call it a bounce pass, or some people call it like a dead flip.
Okay.
So that's just, yeah, and I can talk a little bit more about that. People are really hesitant to try this, like, on location, because it's like, and it totally makes sense, like, I paid money for this, like, I should flip the ball when it comes to the flippers, otherwise I'm going to risk letting it drain. So since many of you have machines at home, like, it's free. You know, you can try that as many times as you want. And I'm telling you, it was for sure the biggest leap in my game. And it's really, it's scary more than it's difficult. That's all, like, it's, you don't have to flip, so it's the easiest thing in the world.
And are you doing that because you're wanting the flipper to lose the momentum and then drop onto the other guy so he's your catcher?
Yeah.
Catch the ball?
I guess the shortest answer is, if possible, I would like to never hit the ball on the fly.
Okay.
Like, that's pretty unrealistic for throughout the whole game. But any time there's a chance for me to just, a ball's coming at the flipper, I know a shot I want to take, but it's going to be really hard to hit that fly. If I just let it settle on the flippers, then I can take time. You know, because for aiming, I think some people will ask, like, where the ball is on the flipper for, like, okay, how do I hit the left brand? Like, where is the ball on the flipper? I don't know the answer to that. To me, it's more about timing in my mind. So every time, like, if the ball's at a dead stop and I want to make the left brand, it's going to be the exact same timing every single time. Whereas if it's coming at it fast at an angle, who knows? Like, there are all kinds of adjustments, speed and angle and all that stuff. I don't even know how to do that consciously in my head. It's like, I guess it's reflexes. But so anytime the ball, you're starting from a dead stop, the timing's going to be the same on a shot. You let the ball go, it starts rolling down. Like, that will be the timing for that shot every single time because it started... Yeah, it's going the same speed every single time.
You've got to correct your course.
So,
hey Ryan, can you talk real quick about how you stop the ball when it's coming down the in lane?
Yeah, did I do that just
half pass?
Yeah, you just did.
Yeah,
just exactly like you just did.
Yeah,
I think timed it.
So this will be different for every game. There's some games, like one I can think of in particular, Attack from Mars. When you hit the left ramp, it's usually coming down fast enough that you can hold the left flipper up like I'm doing now, comes to the in lane and just like goes over to the right. That's a really awesome, safe way to control the ball. Yeah. So like instead of it coming down and you flinging it away where it's coming at speed, just like let it bounce over to the other side and cradle it over there. This game, the return is slower, so I can't make it go all the way over. So if I held it up, let's see, it's probably going to... Okay. It did, I mean, it went over, but I don't want it, like, falling right to the tip of this because I have to bring it away. I want it to, like, go all the way up to the in lane. I meant to do that earlier. Should I talk about some vocabulary things? Do people understand, like, the terms that I'm using about, like, in lanes and out lanes and slingshots? And okay, I'll do that real quick, but I think everybody's nodding. The out lanes are the things that go out the outside and you can't save the ball anymore. In lanes are the things that
drop to your flippers.
Yeah, drop to your flippers. Slingshots are the things right above your flipper here that throw the ball away, like kind of like a slingshot. Let's try this shot again here. So there's I'm not sure what that move is called, but basically just trying to tip it really quickly to get it to slow down. Basically, you can, this is something to practice, I suppose, but figure out how much strength it takes to, like, you know, flip the flipper as quickly as possible.
Are you flipping it as it hits the flipper?
I'm not hitting it as it hits the flipper. I think what's happening is it starts to roll out towards the tip, and then I realize that it's not going to make it over, and then as it gets to the tip, I start to... I flutter it a little bit.
Okay.
I think if you're coming down and the ball is at the heel of the flipper and you try and do it there, I think you're gonna shoot the ball away every time. If that makes sense. Just because of the angle. Like here, when it gets to the tip, it's going to be shooting it back into the, you know, tipping it up and sort of back. But when it's I don't know the answer to that, actually. I'm not a master of that. I think whatever works. It's difficult to do just because figuring out exactly where...
Like, you don't have any kind of set thing that you're doing. You have to figure out each machine kind of how
it... Yeah. I mean, that's... So... there you go. So... I gotta look back at my notes here. But something when you like when you approach a new game, I'm always trying to learn like what's the best way to control the ball. Always like I'm looking for safe things to do that I know will work repeatedly. So in Attack from Mars, if it comes down and there's always enough speed to hold this flipper up and go see this side, I'll just do that every time. In Adam's Family, like shooting the chair, like you're going to be shooting the chair a lot probably. So you want to know, like, you want to figure out how to deal with that kick out without having to fling the ball away. If you flung it away every time, that's a lot of chances to lose the ball. So like in Adam's Family, you may be able to let it come out of the chair. Does everybody know Adam's Family generally? Okay, so there's like a chair here, and it'll kick the ball out. And on a lot of them, you can just let the ball... This is actually probably the best place to practice a bounce pass, is like kick something kicks out of a kick out. Comes right to the middle of your flipper, just don't do anything. Let it go to the other side. It could be that the kick out is really fast, and the ball goes out of control, and then that's something to know. Or it could be that it's so slow that it doesn't bounce over and it goes down the middle.
But your goal is just to cradle it on the other flipper.
Yeah, not necessarily the other flipper, but just any flipper. Like I want to know in different parts. Like the ball can be on all kinds of different parts of the playfield. There's certain shots like I'm going to be making this ramp a lot or that ramp a lot. Like, is it coming back consistent enough that I can do the same thing every time and know that I'll get control of it? And it might be that the answer is no. Like, as I'm shooting this left ramp, you see, like, sometimes it was going over, sometimes it was stopping. So it may be that I just have to shoot that one away because there isn't a consistent way. But particularly with kickouts and that kind of stuff, like, I would rather, even if I wanted the ball on the left and the kickout is coming to the left, if I could hold the flipper up and the ball just settles there, then that's great, and I'll do that. If I try that or watch someone else do it and fail, and they lose the ball or it gets out of control, then I would try like bouncing to the other side and getting control there. Even though it's not the flipper I want, at least I have control.
Post pass it back over.
Exactly, and I could post pass it back over. Yes. So I'm going to keep talking about bounce passing a little bit. A great place to practice is coming out of kickouts because it should be the same every time. The other real safe time to do it is when the ball. If the ball is going to hit the middle of the flipper, like I would say probably the middle three quarters of the flipper, that is like safe, generally 100% safe for, generally 100% safe for bounce passing, because the flipper is there. Like the ball, it can't go through the flipper. Like the ball is going to hit the flipper, it's going to bounce, the momentum is going to take it somewhere else, so you don't need to flip. The only places where you get into trouble is the very tip or the very heel of a flipper. And if the ball were to come in and hit the ball guide here at the same time that it hits the flipper, it could just die and fall in. So anywhere in the middle of the flipper that the ball's going to hit, it's going to be safe to bounce pass. And particularly, like even that, particularly when you, if it's coming from the opposite side of the playfield. We'll see if I can get some examples of that right now. And I'm going to talk about nudging in a moment. That was somehow my first opportunity. Okay, so like that. There's no way, like, and doing it a couple times, you'll be able to tell. Maybe the flippers haven't been rebuilt, or it's an older game or something, and the flipper absorbs too much of the ball, and then it dies, and then you'll know that you can't do that. But just by like what happened there, I know that that's going to be safe to do every time. It's going to hit the middle of the flipper. It's going to bounce over. I may not be able to get perfect control on the other side, but at least the ball is moving a lot more slowly. I'm going to see if I can... Even that, which was pretty close to the tip of the flipper. That was kind of a moment where I felt like, I'm just going to let the ball settle, like, stop moving on my flippers, and then I'm going to get control of it. Okay, so here's an example of like where you want to bounce pass to, probably. And this might depend on per machine, but there you go. Like that was just much safer than anything I would have done by flinging the ball away. And you notice like how long, I'm not really trying to do anything in this game, but I've been playing a pretty long time here without losing the ball too many times. And I'm just like always controlling the ball, always, you know, aiming for shots, not hitting a lot of posts. Okay, so we talked about bounce passing a lot, backhanding, like you could backhand a spinner. I actually try and backhand the spinner exclusively on this game because when I shoot from the right side and I miss, the ball is traveling really fast and there's posts on either side. And maybe I'll try here. But. As you may, spoiler alert, conclusion of this talk is bounce pass and get control of the ball whenever you can. Now sometimes, so there, I actually nudged the machine a little bit because I felt like the ball was moving too slowly and I wanted a bounce pass, but maybe it wasn't going to get there. So I shoved forward on the machine as the ball was hitting the flipper just to like give it some extra push over to the other side. Let's try and flail it around here. Make some other things happen. So sometimes I was flipping there, even though the ball was coming. That's kind of the sloppy way of stuffing the ball in this video. So sometimes the ball is coming into the slingshot here, and I'm sure this has all happened to us. Like, the ball comes into the slingshot, hits the slingshot, and goes right between the flippers. And slingshots are, there's two like main randomizers in the machine, pop bumpers and slingshots. So in this game, as long as you're hitting ramps and like the main shots, you're getting the ball back safely. Once it's in the sling, like, you never want to be in the slingshots. It's a bad place to be. And specifically the slingshots, because it's throwing the ball back and forth and is maybe going to throw it into the outlanes. Like this outlane over here is sort of protected. There's like a little, I don't know how well you can see. I'm not sure how well you can see. But there's sort of like a little cove of protection here. So the ball doesn't often like go in there except from the slingshots, you know, like those are, Lord of the Rings is one of those games, so they're sort of like, the slingshots will put you into the outlanes, and most other games will not. This thing where the ball's coming into the slingshot, I lift this right flipper to protect from the slingshot maybe sending it right between the flippers. So if you can see now this, like this gap here, there's like almost no gap at all for the ball to hit the right slingshot and go between the flippers. If look at the other side now there's a huge gap. So if I flip the opposite flipper at a time that it's gonna hit the slingshot, that's a bad idea. Creating a much bigger gap. So sometimes I will lift a flipper to protect that situation. But you also have to drop the flipper right away in the case that hit the slingshot, hit the other slingshot, and then now you've created a big gap. I'm maybe going way off the rail here, but what was I going to say about it? All right. Let's see if we can do a multi-ball here. That thing is called a drop catch. And that was probably like, I didn't learn that for like 3 years of playing very seriously and often. I won't maybe talk about it too much because it's very difficult, but basically you're lifting and dropping the flipper very quickly as the ball needs it. And then it just hopefully stops on the flipper. Maybe I'll get back to that. That's so I'm trying to shoot this lock and start this multi-ball. Okay, what do you mean? Task score. Okay. So in multi-ball, in modern machines, you have a ball save period, just like at the beginning of your plunge. And so this shoot again light will flash. So I will kind of just flail balls around while that's happening, instead of trying to play controlled, because it doesn't matter if I lose balls right now for the first 10 seconds of practice. And I'll probably take this risky side ramp shot, and the thing will flash, the shooting end light will flash faster as it's getting closer to its fire. That was kind of a bad live catch. A live catch is flipping the flipper up to meet the ball at the moment that the ball arrives at the flipper. And so that's also a very difficult thing to do, but it'd be kind of like a car crash where two cars are driving 60 miles an hour and hit each other, and they just stop right there. So if your timing is off, you'll just fling the ball away, and if it's correct, you can get the ball to literally die right in the flipper. Okay, so a great thing to do in multi-ball is... Multiball is great. There's jackpots and there's more balls, which means more points. But also, often your balls will just, other balls will get in the way. Like, you shoot a ball, it collides with other balls, and you're not getting more. So, theoretically, most of the time, I would like to get into, I'd like to cradle balls like this, even though there's multiple balls going on. And then just shoot jackpots. And this perhaps seems a little boring, but, like, hey, I'm just racking up jackpots here. No big deal. And you know what? If I lose one ball, that's okay. I still have two, and I can still be doing the same thing. Here, maybe I want a backhand, because I want the ball... sometimes this is just sort of an exercise in patience and nerves of, like, not losing the ball. Oh, all right. Let's see if I can get this under control again. Okay, so here's the situation where I'd like to separate these balls a little bit. So you can just... Here we go. Okay. There's a thing called cradle separation, which is to do something like that. Ah! Pretend that worked. Ah. Oh, well, okay. Here's another multi-ball. Great. this multi-ball in Star Trek, that was a live catch, is you get an extra ball, you get a third ball if you can hit that one in the first 15 seconds. So now I'm on to two. Now I should be three balls here. And I... just did the add a ball accidentally, so now I have four balls. And I'm just going to flail away because I have last ball save coming up here. And now my ball save is gone. I won't try and cradle balls when I have four because that's just too many. You'll end up with two on each flipper, and then what are you going to do? Okay. There's a virtual kickback on this game that you can play. I don't totally understand. Does anyone know Star Trek pretty well here? The rules? No? Okay, so I have... We're just going to talk about rules here for a second. There's these yellow triangles in the middle, which will spot me shots on the ship. Should I use those right now?
No.
Why not?
I would wait until you are... Actually, no, if you started the Vengeance multiple, yes. Because
Okay.
It registers a hit on the Vengeance.
Okay. Okay, so... Actually, it only let me do one. This means this is the super jackpot, I think. I'm just making stuff up here. So, Star Trek has this combo system where you make a shot and it doubles a lot of the other shots. It really wants me to shoot the Vengeance there. I'm going to shoot something else first to double that shot, and then below. So that should be 10 million instead of 5, I believe. Yeah, okay. And now I'm just going to, like, see what happens there. Okay, got it. And now I can use these some more.
You're the victory.
Okay, can I use them for... I can't use them for victory points?
You don't want to.
Don't want to. Oh, this is trouble. Oh, I caused that, didn't I? Okay, we should talk about... alright, any questions? I'm going to talk about nudging here. Question. What is the question? That's the guy who knows how to play Star Trek. Alright. Okay, so nudging. Does anyone have any, like, nudging questions? Like, I think I know how to nudge, but I don't. what am I doing wrong?
Can you just say how big a part of your game it is? Like, I feel like on the 90s games, which is kind of what I play, you don't need to do it. I do it when it's like between the in lane and the out lane, maybe.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's, my sense is that people who play the older games are doing it constantly.
That's probably true. People will say, I hear people say that a lot, like, oh, older games, it's all about nudging, you gotta, you know.
Yeah.
I don't see why that's true necessarily. I mean, I think nudging is, I mean, just as usable on these games, maybe even more so on 90s and 2000s games.
Like, are you doing it in as like a saving the ball kind of thing, or kind of a constant putting English on
so
it?
So there's people who are putting a constant English. I don't totally understand. And in fact, I asked, who was just, okay, so, so Zach Sharp, who's the number one player in the world right now, I played against him 2 weeks ago at the Lions Spring Classic, and Stefan right here was asking, like, what are you doing when you're doing this thing? Like, you're doing this. And he was like, I don't really know, actually. I think it's like, I feel like I should do something, you know, instead of just letting the ball move around on its own. So, but I do see players do that sometimes. They're just, like, jamming down. I think part of the logic there is you're going to absorb some of the impact, and hitting down is not going to cause a tilt. We should talk about tilt. So maybe you guys know this because you have machines, most of you, but the tilt bob is it's a cone shape. It's like a metal cone hanging from a wire with a circle around the outside. So the cone comes up through the circle. And when you move the machine, it swings back and forth. And if it hits the circle, the metal circle, that's a tilt warning. On real old games, EM machines, that you'll tilt and that's the end. On modern machines, you usually get three, you'll tilt on the third touch. So you could possibly do one big thing and it swings and hits both sides and then it slows down and now you have two warnings and you didn't tilt. Or you could make a move that's too much and the game tilts, it hits three times for ammos. The tilt is adjustable so you can make it more or less sensitive. And so sometimes in tournaments, maybe somebody will make the type very tilt so that you really can't do much at all. The place where I started nudging first, I think, was the ball coming into the top of the slingshots. So I should point like this. Coming into the top of the slingshots. And I don't want the ball to hit the outside of the slingshot and then like go into the out lane. And I also don't want it to hit, if I was could judge the trajectory of the ball well enough, like I don't want it to hit the top of the slingshot and then like fall between the flippers. So just hitting the machine forward as it hits the top of the slings is a pretty good start there. It's just like, this ball is coming to a bad place, I want to like push it away from the flippers and like out, away from the out lane and just like back out onto the play field. Does that make sense? You're making a face. Okay, so I'll try and do this. It's a little hard to demonstrate nudging because the ball has to get in the right spot. But if the ball is coming into the top of the slingshots in the in-lane and out-lane area, I just want to get it out of that area. So as the ball hits the rubber, like move the machine forward, I'm just going to like get it away. Let's see if I can demonstrate that at all. Missing shots. There was an example, perhaps. Ball's coming down to the top of the slingshot. I don't want it to just graze the slingshot, fall down the middle. I'm going to just send it back up the plate. Right there. For a very long time, I was nudging in the wrong direction. And it makes total sense. So the ball would be going over here to the right out lane, and I would move the machine the opposite way, like the direction the ball was coming from. And I did that for like a year until I realized that was wrong. And the thing that helped me figure it out is that if you're going to move the machine side to side, you're not moving the ball. You're moving an object into the path of the ball. So the ball has this trajectory, and it's going to keep going on that trajectory. And there's not enough friction between the ball and the playfield to affect the movement of the ball with just the playfield. So if the ball is coming over to that lane, my goal now is to move this post that divides the in lane and out lane. I want to move it out and into the path of that ball so that it hits that post instead of going cleanly down the out lane. Does that make sense? The what?
You move the machine under the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're sliding the machine. And I could probably do it here, but so one thing that's very difficult to do, but some of the best players can do, is ball's coming straight down the middle. You can tell that it's going to go between the flippers. And you slide the whole machine. So you're literally sliding the flipper underneath the path, like the dropping path of these in ball. I wish I had slides or notes here. There's a video of Josh Sharp doing this in a tournament where he moved, it was like a Congo, he moved the machine like 2 feet. The ball was coming right down the middle. He gave this huge move. It was two dangers. I think it was like two dangers or one. It was something insane.
It was ridiculous.
I feel like he probably got kind of lucky. And the camera was no longer on the machine. It was like totally off. But it was like a high level competition. He saved the ball, and he did that by just moving the flipper into the path of the ball. That's really advanced. I don't know how many times I've ever done that successfully in my life, and it also depends on like the surface. So this has carpet sliders on carpet, so I probably would be able to, like, you know. Okay, so that was one danger, and look how much I moved the machine. But like, my location has rubber feet on a wood floor, like rubber shoes on the footers on a wooden floor, and you can't move the machines at all. And they're close to each other also, so you can't do it. So nudging. The first place I would start, if you're not nudging, is balls coming into the in-lane, out-lane area, top of the slingshot. Just give a nice, like, hard, you know, shove as the ball hits the rubber, and the goal is just to push it away from that area. The next step of that is, you know, ball's coming over, and you can tell it's going into the in-lane, into the out-lane, and it's moved the post into the path of the ball so that it hits it and leaves the area.
Do you ever nudge for poppers up top? Because, like, I'm walking dead when it comes around with that, and you can give it a good nudge, and it just goes, you know, you can always just give it.
I don't, and the reason I don't is because if I get a danger from doing that, I'm going to be really annoyed. Like, ooh, I got 10,000 extra points for it. There's a video, it might be Pinball 101. There's a video somewhere online where they tested this. They did a couple of different machines, and they would try, like, nudging when the ball's in the post versus not nudging, and they had a timer on it. I don't know how scientific this was, how many trials there were. It may not be statistically significant, but the conclusion was, like, oh, this game, it helps to nudge when the ball is in the pop bumpers, and this game, it doesn't. Like, some games it made it longer, some games it made it shorter. But also, you know, they said, okay, Adam's Family is X. But the other thing is that, like, every Adam's Family is different. And some people, you guys might all know this, but not everybody does. They think, like, oh, you should be able to compare the score on this Adam's Family to that Adam's Family. It's not like that at all. Like, even moving this machine probably plays differently sitting right here than it did when it was over there. Maybe it's, you know, not quite as level as it was. It's more level. And if it's a different machine, like, how recently was it waxed? How fresh are the rubbers? How steep is it? How recently have the flippers been rebuilt? Like, everything matters. So you can't really compare, you know, one machine to another. The outlane posts, so there's posts, you guys probably can't see this at all, but there's a post that divides in and out lane. Then there's a post right up here that, this does not translate when I pull it up here. Anyway, there's a post up here that can be moved up and down. And so to make the out lane bigger or smaller. And so, you know, you could be playing this someone else's machine and it's a lot easier than yours, or it's a lot harder. And that could be that could be part of it, like how big are the outlane. And that means, like, when there's, and that's going to affect, like, how often you have to nudge over there, and whether the ball's in danger. So, you know, some games they might be so small that the ball almost never goes through the outlanes because it just is always going to hit one rubber or the other. Walking Dead, on modern Sterns particularly, they will cordon off the pop bumpers. So in this game, like, the pop bumpers are basically in a room by themselves. Like, it creates some randomness in there, but the ball comes out almost the same way every time. Walking Dead is similar, although sometimes the ball can come out very dangerously. Sometimes it rolls along the wall, and then it's going to be safe. But sometimes it comes through the middle, and it goes right down the middle. So that's an instance where, that game, the ball coming out of the pops, coming down the wall, maybe you need to nudge the machine. Like, maybe you need to do this to push the ball off the wall if you've noticed from previous ball that it's going to come right down the middle. I'm actually just going to drop this. How much time do we have here? 2:47. Is there anything else I can say about nudging? The moment. I might have a couple of
it. What about whittling out the outlines?
Okay, I can't do that, but I will say what that is. There's something, some people call it a wicked shimmy, but there's a move where, like, I've done it a couple times. There's no way I can possibly demonstrate it. Maybe I've done it 5 times in my life. But ball comes into the outlane, is past the rubbers and going out the outlane, shaking it side to side. Some people are good enough to, like, be able to walk the ball back up the outlane. And so if you go on the internet and look for wicked shimmy, you'll find a video of this. But, like, you know, maybe even down an inch, like, walk the ball up and bounce it back out. It's pretty crazy. You'd be lucky to pull that off in an important situation. I just want to look through my notes and see if there's anything else that... So, just, like, some general things about, like, going up to a game you've never played before. Like I talked about, is, like, figuring out what things are safe. Like, if I shoot the ball around the orbit... like the Lord of the Rings that I have on location. When you go around either orbit, you can just hold the flipper up and ball's going to cradle right there. That's a super valuable thing to know versus having to fling that ball away every time. So 100% safe, comes through the orbit, you got the ball caught on your flipper every time. Knowing how to start modes in a game. Like, if you know nothing else about a game, shoot flashing shots, figure out how to start modes, and figure out how to start a multi-ball. And if you can combine modes and multi-balls, that's great too. I think when I first started, I was like, I'm gonna start a multi-ball. And particularly, like, on Star Trek, you can start a multi-ball and there's no mode running, and then you get points for the multi-ball, but if you had a mode going at the same time, you would be getting all kinds of, like, 500,000 point mode shots and not even have to know what you're aiming for or going for. Like, you just get them as part of shooting jackpots. Watching other people, if you play, you know, if you end up, I don't know, like, okay, so this is something to do today. If you end up, or if you're out on the floor and you're waiting for a game behind somebody, like, watch what they're doing. Like, see if there's things that you can tell that are going to help you. Even though, like, yeah, it's just for fun, but watch, like, what happens when this ball kicks out for this person? Like, is it safe? Like, do I have to fling it away? Can I cradle it? Can they bounce it over? Maybe there's probably a lot of people out there that you might not be able to pick up on these things because they're just, you know, flailing away. So Pinburg, I played in Pinburg last year. It was the first tournament I ever played in out of state. And there's like two or 300 machines in the tournament. And so there's no way to, like, learn the rules for even, like, a quarter of those. And so I often try not to watch my opponents too carefully in a tournament if it's going to psych me out. Like, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want to watch somebody, like, confidently, like, have this big score and then be stressed about it. So if I'm playing someone who's really good, maybe I will walk away and not pay too much attention. But at Pinburg, I just told myself, like, I've got to watch every single person play every ball because I've never played this game. I don't know how to play it. I want to find out what things are safe and what things are not safe. And it was super helpful. Like, I could step up to a game I'd never played before, and I saw three people play before me, and, like, oh, this, you know, like, this is dangerous, this is safe. Maybe there's, like, some of these older games, they have, when the ball goes up the in lanes, it falls out the bottom there. And, like, that's a good, you know, like seeing that's happened to someone else where I might not have noticed when I stepped on the machine, super helpful. I didn't talk a ton about this, but maybe it was implied. There are safe shots and dangerous shots. So Star Trek, most of the shots are very safe in that game. The one shot that is not safe is the shot to the Vengeance. It's a drop target. You hit straight on, the ball comes screaming back. The ramps and everything else like are returning safely. So Attack from Mars is a good example. So there's the saucers, and that's like an easy thing to do. Shoot the saucer. But it's this wall of targets that shoots the ball right back down at you. So if you're going to, at least having an awareness of which shots are safe and which shots are not safe is super helpful. Like, no, if I'm going to shoot saucers over and over and over again, that's a risky strategy. You get a lot of points, but most pros in high-level tournaments will play for multi-ball because there's a lock shot, lock shot here, next to the saucer, and you can shoot that and it returns safely to the flipper. So, like, four shots, safe shots like that, and now you're in multi-ball versus like potentially, I don't know, seven shots at the saucer just to beat it the first time. You get a lot of points for that, but it's every one of them is you're risking a drain. Okay. My final. All right, two more things. So sometimes when I'm trying to get people to play more controlled, they will say, like, oh yeah, I know I should do that, but it's not fun. And I totally understand that. Like, it is fun to just, like, flail the ball around. I think it's fun to get further into the game and, like, to get higher and higher scores. I think as I've gotten to be a better player, I'm not sure that if I only look at my high score for a game, it hasn't been as noticeable. So, like, 2 years ago, I got 3 billion on Twilight Zone. I haven't scored that since. My average score at Twilight Zone has been going up and up and up and up. I got that 3 billion because I was just like flailing around and I didn't get unlucky and, you know, like, didn't lose the ball. So trying this stuff out, you will get worse probably at first. Like, when you try to play controlled and you try and learn to bounce pass if you haven't been, like, you're going to get worse because you're going to not flip sometime and you're going to lose the ball and then, like, well, that wasn't fun, and I just lost my 50 cents. But figuring it out, like, you're going to be able to get further into games. You're going to have more time to, like, playing controlled, like, gives you more time to figure out what you're supposed to do. Like, who has time to look at the DMD when you're just, like, if balls are constantly in motion? You can't necessarily tell what you're supposed to be shooting for. I should come up with a better analogy, but I understand it's fun to fling balls around, but it's also fun to, like, learn the game and get better and improve your scores, for me, anyway. It basically, like, I'm trying to reduce randomness. I used to be like this, like, my scores would be up and down, and I'm trying to just get, like, more and more consistent. It's really helpful, particularly if you play in tournaments or leagues. I'm going to go into my little competitive play thing. I talk to people all the time who say, like, oh, I'm not good enough to, like, people are better than me. And, like, if you are looking at high scores on machines, like, those, you know, where people put their initials are, like, those are probably intimidating scores. You can win tournament games all the time with, like, 2 million points on Iron Man because your opponent did nothing. And so it's more there, it's helpful to be more consistent than it is to have, like, you know, in a bracket thing, like, if you have great game, bad game, great game, you're out right away. You know, like, all it takes to sometimes do well is, like, you just have middle-of-the-road scores, and you don't run into somebody who gets to put their initial, you know, like, nobody has a great game. You don't need great games. You just need average ones. And so since a lot of you people, I don't know, Stepan, do you have any comments about, like, so this is a friend of mine who just played in the league for the first time. I don't know, like, I guess I'm always trying to encourage people to do it, and people always say, some people, like, they don't have access to that, but some people do, and they say, like, I'm not good enough for that yet. One thing is, the people who are doing it are getting better than you faster than you are.
Yeah.
Like, there's somebody actually at this show, I hope she's not in here, but she's like, always like, oh, like next season I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to practice, I'm going to get better. And she never does it. And meanwhile, everyone in the league just like is also getting better and better faster than she is. And not that pinball is a competition or it needs to be like that, but there's been people that I've got to join leagues that used to just play by themselves, like, you know, all the time. And that's definitely something. But playing with other people in a tournament setting or in a league setting, which is a little more casual, maybe it's a four-player group, you get to chat with people, you get to know people, you can get to talk about strategy.
Is a competitive format? What is the format? I actually don't.
So, like, where do you live?
In Boulder.
In Boulder.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excellent. This is like a plant here or something. So my league is 6 weeks. This most recent one, there was 24 people in it. We play in groups of four. And I have you playing with the people who are closest to an ability. So there's sort of like a ranking of like how good everyone is that changes each week. And each week you're playing with the four closest people to you. I know the Denver League did that too, and the Lions League did that same thing. And so, okay, cool, perfect. So that's another thing, like, that's great, so it's not intimidating. I have had people say that they wish they were playing with better players sometimes because they were missing out on seeing some higher level play by playing with the people they were playing with. But I've had people who played in my league that had not played a pinball machine in 10 years. They're like playing on the iPad, you know. Groups of four pick five machines, and every group plays those five machines, and we do. There's kind of a scoring like 3-2-1-0, where if you win the game, you get 3 points. If you get second, you get 2 points. 1 point. So, and it's not. You know, maybe looking in this tournament room, you'll see people with like headphones on, playing by themselves, and it's like real serious. But it's like the local monthly tournaments and leagues are pretty, like, there are some really good players and there's really bad players. Nobody is like intense about it or like talking trash. People, I wrote down all of these things, like people who say I'm not good enough or like I'm not going to win, so what's the point? It's like most of the tournaments are $5, and for me, I actually wrote this down. I made the money once in my first 22 tournaments. So like, and I would just, it's like, all right, I'm just donating $5. Like, that's 2 hours of entertainment. I'm going to like watch some people who are better than me, and I'm going to get learn games and get better at pinball. It did totally feel like donating, and then I had no chance of winning. Leagues are kind of similar, where like maybe you're paying about $5 per night. It's going into a pot, and that money is getting awarded back to everybody at the end. Most of the leagues around here are good about like people, and they'll break up the tournament at the end. Like the top people are trying to win some money. The middle people are trying to win a lesser amounts of money, and so I actually ran one where there were three tiers, and the winner of each tier played in a one-game final, so you could win the biggest prize even coming from the bottom eight people. I actually have, let me just check the time here again. Oh no, getting messages. Okay, it's 2:59. This is going to sound self-promotional, but it's not. So I have these. I have post-its here that on my machines in Boulder, I use this thing called PayRange, and it's a smartphone app that you can download and you can pay with your phone. You can also, like, I can also give out free credits to people. So if you want, come to me, and this is just like 10 free games on my machines in Boulder. And if you take them, you need to channel this session as you play and like try and work, you know, like this is me like giving you free pinball so you can make mistakes like trying to implement these strategies. It's great to play at home. It's like fun to play for beers too, but it's also not, if you think it's intense and intimidating to play in tournaments and in leagues, it's not like you think. There's like a total wide range of people. It's just another way to like meet other people, which is a great source for buying games, like running into people at shows that you know, learning new stuff about games, and yeah. So, control the ball, bounce pass, and have fun.
This was great.
Thank you, guys.